Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Vas Larikos. Vas, how are you doing?
Happy to be with you, Ken. Four in a row. Always good to get the ball rolling in the right direction after a tough start. Really encouraged by the way this offense has come together with the offensive line and Todd Monken and Derrick Henry and Lamar playing at an absolute elite level right now.
Lots of things going right for that Ravens offense. Everything looks right in terms of scheme, in terms of taking advantage of what the opponents are giving them. It is certainly a lot of fun to watch them on offense right now. Being a worrywart, I'm a little bit concerned still about the defense getting their act together, particularly on the back end at the safety position. And I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point during Friday Morning GM today. But let's look at some of the big trades that happened in the NFL just this week. Davante Adams to the Jets, a conditional pick. Now, normally a conditional pick, you hear like a conditional seventh round pick, means you get a conditional seventh at the best, or you get less. This is being called a conditional third because the conditions are pretty strict on them bumping it up to a second. But it will become a second if the Jets play in the AFC Championship game or if Davante Adams goes on to be at least second team All-Pro. Both fairly big long shots, I would say.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure. I think the compensation was about right. The interesting part of this, well, first I will say Aaron Rodgers said, we're all in now. Just to hear that come out of his mouth was a little bit amusing, considering that the way that that term is thrown around so much these days. Apparently, Davante Adams restructured his contract to lower his cap number to $3.2 million for the remainder of the season. Now, that includes two void years. I did not see the exact details on whether he actually took some sort of a haircut to ring chase with his buddy Rodgers or if the money's just being pushed off into the future.
My guess, it's just this year's money being pushed off into the future. And there's probably some, it'd be like the Odell Beckham deal where there's some large amount of money, poison pill, that forces them to cut him if they don't re-sign him to a long-term deal. So it could be one of these things where no new money created, but it creates a early impetus to make a decision on him relative to cutting him later in the year. So both parties actually can win under that structure. So we'll see. There might be some other complication that I'm not considering here.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be anywhere between as early as the 33rd and as late as the 92nd pick, the Raiders will receive. Interesting trade. Adams probably will play as well as he possibly can with Rodgers, I would guess, given their familiarity.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they're certainly, they really both thrived when they were together. Probably the high point of both of their careers for that, what was that, about 4-year stretch. Adams started slow as a professional, yep. And he came on about his third year was when he really broke out. You know, the Jets already had a tremendous receiving core with Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazard, another former Packer, and then Mike Williams, who they signed away from the Chargers. And the rumor, which could potentially impact the Ravens, is that he may be shipped off or maybe even released, Mike Williams, and he could potentially fulfill that role as a vertical deep ball winner downfield.
Yeah, I looked at the amount of money he had on his contract. It wasn't insignificant, I didn't think. Okay, he got paid. Yeah, it's about – first of all, a lot of his prorated bonus. It's a one-year deal for about $8.6 million, it looks like. But a lot of it is deferred bonus. There's $5 million in base salary, and there's $1.7 in per-game roster bonus. So 6.7 times 11/17 is what he should be due at this point, which is going to be about $400,000 per game that he makes. It's not nothing. But it is a guy, if you just had to have him, if you felt like this was the guy who was going to make the Ravens a better team, you could do it. I'm not sure I would mess with what's going on with the Ravens right now. I don't know how you feel about that. A 30-year-old wide receiver, $400,000 a game, basically probably be taking snaps away from Nelson Aguilar would be my guess.
I think they could have someone take snaps away from Nelson. He hasn't had a great year, but I would prefer that to be the in-house rookie, Tez Walker, who has not received an activation to date so far this season. Maybe that changes this week with maybe somebody on the injury report. We'll see. It's weird because I do think they have a need at receiver, but it's a depth need. So you're not going to go out and sign a starting caliber player or trade for, I should say. So how do you kind of – it's a niche need. So we'll see.
Yeah, Williams might be, you know, he's really used to being, I guess, the number two guy, but on the field a lot. Lazard was also on the field a lot for the Jets here so far this year. But it does almost seem like Aaron Rodgers, GM Aaron Rodgers,
right,
has made the decision that Mike Williams is going to be traded at this point with Davante Adams there.
Yeah, I think he threw him under the bus saying he was in the wrong spot on one of the routes. Just back to the Jets, I mean, that division's wide open at this point. I was sort of surprised they lost on Monday night. I thought the interim coach bounce, as well as the home dog on Monday night, was in full effect. They had a small stack of cheese on the Jets. But, you know, we'll see. I think it probably impacts the division race, but I don't think it really impacts much as far as the pecking order at the top of the conference.
All right. Amari Cooper going to the Bills. The Bills make a trade as well. Again, in division there. Not the trade in division. Amari Cooper, obviously, from the Browns. It's a third-round pick, less an exchange of a 6 for a 7, so a slight trade up on in return there. But that honestly seemed like a lot for Amari Cooper, who's had a very tough start to his season. I'll get to some of his stats here in a second, but very tough start to his season. Lousy on a yards per target basis. Of course, he's got the wrong guy throwing him the football.
Yeah. Last I looked, he was one of the worst grade receivers in the league this year per PFF. Interesting. I believe this is the fourth trade of Amari's career from the Raiders to the Cowboys to the Browns. And, and now to the Bills, but which is, and he's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
So I believe it was 4, but either way, the Bills are desperate. I think the Bills really were desperate. They're pretty much, they have a lack of talent at this point on their roster. And again, with that division being wide open, I could see making trading a third. I wouldn't have gone more than the third for either of these players personally. But I guess you want to get in the playoffs and see what happens. And maybe they think that if they get the passing offense clicking, they can make a little run.
Yeah. Cooper is the bigger risk and the bigger risk for a 3. I have no idea why he would cost as much as a 3. And it's something that if I were Browns fans, I'd be very excited about it because Amari Cooper's not going to help you this year. You're not going to retain him given where you are next year, in both in terms of your cap position, but also in terms of his production. He's at 4.7 right. yards per target. I mean, it's just, he might not be done. I think he's done with Deshaun Watson at this point. If they got another quarterback and maybe he'll have a rebirth with Josh Allen, or maybe he'll continue on and just not be as effective as he had been in the past.
Yeah, we'll see. It looks like he's slanting on the downward slope of his career, but certainly better quarterback play can change that. So the Browns still have two other receivers that they traded for on the roster with Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy. So I guess Jerry Judy's going to serve as our number one now.
Okay. Or they could trade him too. Listen, why don't you take us through the injury report for today? It just came out in the last 20 minutes or so.
Certainly. So we have Rasheen Ali, Arthur Mollett, and Broderick Washington, all limited. Mollett and Washington returned, I believe, for the first day today. And Mollett has that 21-day window starting to creep up into the into the decision point. Malik Harrison and Deontay Hardy both did not practice. And Brent Urban did not practice. I was concerned when I first saw this, but apparently it was an illness, not an injury.
Yeah. So that's hopefully not a big deal. Hopefully he'll be back. I know they give them some pretty good drugs to get over the flu or whatever when they've got that, but that's a good deal. Rasheen Ali, of course, he's a little bit surprising to me as a limited because he was activated for week 6. He played special teams, no running back snaps. wasn't aware of an injury that was still lingering or whatever, but to be limited, the practice after you just get your first activation is not a good thing.
Yeah. You know, he's essentially a placeholder for Keaton Mitchell in my eyes. We'll see if he amounts to much more. Didn't like his tape much out of college. Didn't like his tape in the preseason. They just sort of cycling through warm bodies as the running back three until Keaton's ready.
All right. Well, they did race the fifth round draft pick on him. So hopefully they get a little something. Yannick Ngakoue signed to the roster and out of the 53. I suspect, I haven't heard this confirmed or speculated on. I mean, I've heard it otherwise speculated, but the Detroit Lions with the loss of Aiden Hutchinson, and they lost, who else did they lose before him? They've lost two guys on the edge.
I don't recall who it was before him.
Anyway, I'm sure they were one of the teams that's interested in Ngakoue because they ended up signing the guy from the Bengals, Isaiah Thomas, and that's really digging pretty deep into the bin in terms of other teams' practice squads. So they would have had a call to Ngakoue, and the Ravens did the right thing. They signed a guy. Really helps to have a local guy there because, you know, if you have a general mercenary for hire that's on your practice squad, he could well be out the door to the Detroit Lions at a time like this.
Yes, and I've been pleasantly surprised by what Yannick has shown the last two games. Made an impact, got a game ball from John Harbaugh last week in the locker room. And, you know, he outs, obviously, Adisa Isaac was inactive, and he also outsnapped David Ojabo as the season's progressing. You know, you're hoping to get a little bit more out of that edge rusher position after Calvin Noy's torch starts cooled off a little bit, and Owe hasn't quite taken that leap that we were hoping for. So, you know, if Ngakoue is more your speed rusher with that cross chop, that seems to be his go-to move. It's helpful. The long history of signing these veteran guys.
So this was an interesting idea we had. We're talking about this on One Last Thing with Slava, recorded earlier today. It's already posted, by the way, folks. Take a listen to that if you will. It's about all of the players the Ravens lost this last season and who do they really miss. And the spoiler alert is they did a very, very good job in terms of the players they let go. Very good job. There's some offensive linemen they probably would still like to have, but it'd be depth at this point, largely, unless you're talking about Zeitler. So the question is, Jadeveon Clowney is one of the players that they certainly miss his 2023 production. Yes. Has not done much for the Panthers so far this year. So the question, the trade we came up with is, would you trade David Ojabo one for one for Jadeveon Clowney right now?
My instinct is yes. And I know Clowney's been dealing with some injuries. Do you want to stay young at that position with some long-term uncertainty? But you just haven't seen very much from Ojabo. And I really think a lot of Madubuike's production last season was assisted by Clowney getting the first pressure. So could you put him back in the system and hope to recreate that? I think it might be worth the risk. I think it probably would be.
So basically, it'd be 2 years of Ojabo for 1 year of Clowney. There's no screwing around with this. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think it's really likely that Ojabo is a guy who sticks with the Ravens, given all the other priorities they have in terms of signing. We've talked about that extensively on this show. So I think you're really just deciding which would I really rather have. I'm always opposed, almost always opposed to trading youth for age, and especially youth for rental age. But in this particular case, I think I would like that deal.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case that Jadeveon Clowney was the best player on the Ravens defense last year based off of the way the season ended. He hasn't got there this year, but we've seen players leave Baltimore, get worse, come to Baltimore, get better. So, yeah, probably worth it. Probably worth a swing.
Cordell was on the show. He said that he thought one of the places where the Ravens might go is outside linebacker, look for an edge player. I don't really see it, largely because of the log jam of players they have there. And some of the players towards the bottom end are guys they can't give up on yet. I mean, Tavius Robinson would be a good example. Adisa Isaac is another. And David Ojabo is another. I mean, if whoever you acquire, the guy he's going to most impact in terms of playing time is probably Ojabo. So yes, you might as well trade him in the deal and reduce the draft capital outlay if you're going to do that. Don't know if there's really a player out there that excited to get. The exciting thing about Clowney is that they advanced all his money and he's down to just the vet minimum that he's making. Everything else has to be accelerated by the Panthers if they were to trade him.
Yeah. I could see it. You know, I don't want to give up on players early, especially at outside linebacker. That's probably the one position where the Ravens have done the best. Mm-hmm. I should say the one premium position where the Ravens have done the best developing mid to late rounders, you know, between Judon, Za'Darius Smith, et cetera, who weren't necessarily, you know, rookie year terrors. So, yeah, I'd like to keep them around. But maybe Clowney, if he gets into shape, maybe that could be the cherry on top kind of move that gets the pass defense back to an acceptable level.
All right. Let's see. Talking about other players that they've done. Saleh was cut. He cleared waivers. He was re-signed to the practice squad today. A little surprising because the timing didn't make a lot of sense. They made a space yesterday, and then they signed two more guys to the practice squad. We'll get to in a moment, but they didn't. Saleh wasn't one of them, and he could have been, I believe, yesterday signed. And they cut the tight end Mitchell Payton was cut today.
Yes, yes. Saleh cleared waivers after partway through his second year in a league that's looking for offensive linemen. I think that tells you how the league feels about his ability. So who knows, you know, maybe you keep him around the practice squad and he makes some kind of leap in the future. Maybe calls into question, why do they keep him on the 53 to start the season? But considering who the other choices were, it is what it is. You can swing for offensive linemen. And if they don't, I'd much rather see them cut bait with somebody that is not performing then keep him around at the expense of a more exciting player or a more necessary player.
He is the kind of size and shape player that you might see some team take a chance on, and that the odds increase both with attrition of the offensive line rosters, but also in December when you get into a lot of those futures deals get signed. And they're looking for a player for next year as opposed to this year. I think there is still a chance some other team takes a chance on Saleh and moves forward. Let's see what else we got. Christian Welch re-signed the practice squad after being cut by the Broncos.
Yeah, I think this may be a harbinger of how the Ravens are going to make space for Arthur Mollette when the time comes. If they are going to do it, they could release Josh Ross and then use some activations to fill that special teams only inside linebacker job with Welch. So that to me, as soon as I saw that, that's what kind of the thought I had.
That kicks the can down the road. It doesn't solve your shortage of total roster spots on the 53, but if you can turn those into practice squad activations even for a matter of 3 weeks, you help yourself out in that way. So it does make a lot of sense. The other guy they signed was Anthony Kendall. Now, he was with the Titans last year, came from a very small D3 school I've never heard of, Baldwin Wallace University, where he was a D3 All-American in 2022, played all 16 games for the Titans last year as a 5'10 corner on special teams. He got three defensive snaps the whole year. So just an interesting call here. He may also be a guy they want to be ready for three practice squad at elevations, and then that's going to be it. Or he may be a guy they have room for him after that, and there's still a hope that he could come in and be a nickel. Does not seem to really have the size I would expect out of an outside corner, especially a Ravens outside corner at 5'10", but you never know, I guess.
Right. Right. Turn that bottom of the practice squad. There's nothing wrong with that. Ravens obviously value special teams. This could be a Kadar Holman type of signing. I still like Bump Cooper if they actually need somebody to play on defense.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Pepe got released to make room here, essentially a cut, I think, to make room for Kendall. That was an interesting one because Pepe certainly understands the Ravens special teams responsibilities, probably would have been a guy who'd been a pretty reasonable guy. They may not like where he is physically, or they may have found something they really didn't like about his special teams play, or they may have put him in some practice reps and not liked what they saw at corner. You could come up with a lot of reasons. But I got to believe there's a pretty good chance Pepe is not back to the Ravens at some future point.
Yeah, unusual. You know, you just bring him back. He drafted homegrown player, drafted by your organization, regular season roster bubble guy that you bring back, and then you release him again a few days later. So something's a little fishy there. I would agree with you. I think his tenure in Baltimore is probably over.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the situation with Daryl Worley where they love the guy and they had 18 transactions in a year on him. It seems more like a, didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100%
federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This is probably it. It's given the player they replaced him with, is Kendall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You wanted to talk about the top 50 PFF UFAs.
Yeah. So PFF put out the top 50 pending UFAs. Just two thoughts on it. First one was Brandon Stevens is not on the list. So we kind of entered this offseason thinking that Brandon Stevens could potentially be a player that was going to be pretty costly free agent or somebody that could net the Ravens a comp pick. I don't think he's played poorly by any stretch this season. Obviously has trouble locating the ball, has not received as much safety help as last year. But to not have him at all on the list was a little bit surprising for what it's worth. Over the cap currently values his play at $6 million per year. The other one, Ronnie Stanley. So the Ravens, and who knows really what happened behind the scenes, but I'm assuming the Ravens approach Ronnie Stanley and says, we need you to take a reduction in pay that you can earn back. But they shortened his contract. He is set to become a free agent. I believe his contract would have had two more years after this year. He is now PFF's number 4 overall player in the NFL, and OTC values his play so far this year at $24.7 million, which was more than he was making on the original contract that he took a discount from.
Right. That's it does kind of make it seem like the Ravens enforcing that move might have been a mistake, because they'd also have one extra year to try and sign him. They possibly could get a slightly discounted deal a year early on that and restructure some of that money anyway. I think the bottom of the list is kind of interesting. There's three former Ravens near the bottom that are all kind of getting up there and long in the tooth. Kevin Zeitler at number 42. Mm-hmm. And he's played well this year, by the way. Kevin Zeitler has played well. The Ravens would probably love to have him at the dollar value that he left for. They needed to get younger. They need to get cheaper. But right now, I'd say Fa'alele is almost the exact person you had in mind when you said 80% of the player at 20% of the price. I can make myself believe that he's 80% of the player based on some of what's happened recently. And he's almost exactly 20% of the price of Kevin Zeitler. So that worked out. Then Morgan Moses at number 44, and he's having a terrible year, but you know, I guess some of that's probably injury related. Of course, at his age, you don't figure him to make great recovery from injuries. And that's why the Ravens let him go, but he's number 44 here for the UFA list. And then number 50 is Calais Campbell.
Yeah. Still playing good ball. You know, he's an ageless wonder. Two other former Ravens also made the list. I believe Hollywood Brown, I'm not looking at it, but I believe Hollywood Brown was up in the 30s, and Matthew Judon as well was somewhere in the 30 to 40 range, I believe.
All right. Well, I'm sure it'd be an interesting offseason for that. We're going to get to a mailbag. We've got an extensive mailbag here. By the way, appreciate all the questions. We're going to get to as many as we can. I think we have a few that I couldn't figure out a way, or some that overlapped. So hopefully if you hear your question, I announce somebody else's name with it. That's the way it goes. Why don't you take the first one?
Okay. First one, I believe, was Kid Rock 20. Could you foresee the Ravens and Marcus Williams agreeing to base pay cut next year? Base salary is $12 million. No way he earns that on the open market. I could see a cut down to $6 million or he is cut.
So shorten the deal, maybe. Sign him for 1 year for $6 million. And it essentially becomes – what that would mean is essentially becoming just a prove-it year.
Mm-hmm.
I think his play would have to improve for the Ravens to make that deal right now. Where are you, Foss?
Yeah, I believe so as well. They don't have a ton of leverage. He has $13.4 million in dead money versus $5.3 million in potential savings. So it's not like they can force him to take a haircut because they have all the power. For what it's worth, OTC has valued his play so far this year at only $3 million. Certainly not what they signed up for when they signed him. I don't know, what was it, the third day of free agency 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's sad because he'd been hurt a lot his first 2 years, but he'd been a hell of a player on a per snap mm-hmm. basis when he'd been out there. And the Ravens now really need a center fielder. They need a center fielder mm-hmm. so badly. This the defense's main problem is turnovers, that they're mm-hmm. they're not generating nearly enough. And he's a guy who could really help with that, and that it hasn't worked out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go on to the second question here, also from Kid Rock 20. He says, would you consider replacing Roquan on second, third, and fourth downs where there is more than 10 yards to go? Okay, the short answer is no. There's several reasons for that. First of all, Roquan has the green dot. Now, you can fix that in theory by having Hamilton take the green dot.
Right.
And he's an every down player, or even Williams, maybe if you wanted to do that. But it's really Hamilton would be the guy.
Yeah.
But I still would not consider replacing Roquan on those downs. I think he brings you too much savvy. And I also think that you've got a player there who is – currently the most picked on player, and you would be playing a game of whack-a-mole in terms of who gets most picked on. The most extreme case, the Ravens would go to a quarter defense on those downs. They did that to Ray Lewis when he was a rookie. Mm-hmm. It could happen, but I think it's a very long way removed. And I think you immediately risk souring the relationship between Roquan and the team, which has got a lot of years left to go.
Right. So, yeah, I had some thoughts written down that as far as Roquan, they restructured his deal before this year, and his cap hit's going to balloon to almost $24 million, $29 million, and then $29 million in the final year with a lot of dead money, $41 million in dead money next year, $17.4 and $26, and even $27 the final year, almost $9 million still in dead money. So that's really the big concern as far as souring the relationship. And this is the risk of paying three down linebackers, and there really is sort of a Bermuda Triangle problem going on there in the middle of the field between Roquan and Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson. All three of them are playing poorly, and I think we've seen this year why the Bears were willing to move on from Roquan Smith and then immediately replace him with Tremaine Edmonds, a player that has a lot better length in pass mm-hmm. defense to shorten and cloud the window. For what it's worth, Roquan is PFF's 62nd graded linebacker this year with a 46 grade in coverage. Trent Simpson, for comparison, has a 65 grade in coverage. He's about the 30th best.
Pretty good.
So from a schematic point of view, I could certainly see making a move there, whether it's Trent Simpson, whether it is going to a quarter. But I don't think you're there that you are there yet. Just because of the, like you said, the relationship and the intangibles and all those soft factors.
I think there's also something that Roquan has played worse than he is so far. I think he'll be back. I'm less sure of it with Marcus Williams. I'm less sure that he's going to find his way again. He's obviously missed some time the last few years. There's been a combination of the injuries and whatnot. He's getting a little older now. What is it? Marcus Williams is 29 now. Is that right?
28 or 29. I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. So anyway, that combination of factors, I could see being more hard to recover. Roquan is younger and
28.
He's going to
still 28. Yeah. Just turned 28 actually in September.
For Marcus.
Yeah. So okay. He's still pretty young.
Yeah.
They both are. I'll look up Roquan age while you finish your thought.
Okay. I think that really does it for the Roquan question. So I'll move on to the next question, which is from Brad McGowan. Do you think Derrick Henry's performance thus far justifies the Ravens' investment in him this offseason when that money could have been used elsewhere? And we know they always have a good running game, even with mediocre backs. I'm going to just go ahead and say, yeah, absolutely, it's been justified. And I know Voss and I both been skeptical of the money spent on Derrick Henry for multiple reasons. But have you changed? Have you flipped the coin on that call from the beginning?
I think it remains to be seen. I think Derrick has certainly brought something as far as taking those long runs even longer. The very high end, taking what J.K. Dobbins would have had as a 30-yard run and making it a 50-yard run. Also, I think he's better as far as red zone, punching it in and just wearing teams down better than Gus was. But to me, this is a question that's really going to be answered in the postseason. The Ravens made it to the championship game last year. They need to make it there or further. Or if not, I think it is fair to question because Lamar has just created such a great environment for running backs to thrive, no matter who it was. I think you put a tweet out last weekend about Derrick Henry's success rate.
Yep.
And we were having a little bit of a conversation about that. And this is the best success rate of Derrick's career, I believe. Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman matched his success rate this year when they were at the 21 Ravens behind Alejandro Villanueva on that offensive line. So I do still think that there is a big Lamar effect happening as well.
There is a big Lamar effect. And we've talked about this many times. So Gus Edwards is the career leader, the all-time leader in success rate since they've been keeping the statistics in the mid-90s. No doubt it has a lot to do with Lamar. I think I would say the reason I'm now on board with the signing, including all the money involved, is that it has made the Ravens play action game better in the way mm-hmm. that I would have hoped. So, mm-hmm. you know, we just saw the Washington Commanders basically say, we cannot let you beat us with the run. We're going to stack the line of scrimmage and you do your best to beat us with a pass. And Lamar just skewered them. A lot of that was play action. A lot of that was also just Lamar now being a lot better at walking around, both talking to himself to figure out where those coverages, where the blocking assignments need to be, but also communicating some of that to the line. Whatever the case, I don't really care whether he's telling people where to block or whether he's just figuring it out for himself. It's time well spent, and it's outstanding growth as a quarterback. I've been really loving that.
No question. So, you know, it's all part of the evolution. You know, football is such a connected, interconnected sport. It's hard to parse out what is Lamar doing here and how is Derrick helping Lamar and how is Lamar helping Derrick and back and forth. But so far, returns have been great. What he's done so far has been worth the expenditure. Next question here we have from Alvindo Royale. I was skeptical of Henry signing, willing to admit I was wrong. For six seasons, Lamar made everyone better. I think he makes Henry better, but would you also agree that Henry is making Lamar better by making defenses focus significantly on someone else? I'm not sure about that one. I think that I would have to see the stack box rates. And those are so nebulous. You talk about you have to see the pathology behind these. Those are dubious to me every time I see them. The other teams are already keying on the run. I think what Derrick does is once he gets past that second level, he makes them pay more than the others did.
Yeah, they've done a great job on this team, stack boxes or no, in getting Derrick Henry yards before contact. So yes. That if you look at him, almost the entire difference in his rush thing, I had it on the scrap of paper. That's the problem when you have a bunch of really crappy looking scraps of paper on your table. There's a difference of 1.66 yards before contact is the improvement. And 1.74 is his delta in overall yards per carry. So he's gained it in terms of yards before contact. And by the way, that's him as well as the offensive line, because the 87 yard run was 100% before contact. And a lot of that was his speed getting yards before contact. So it's not as all on the offensive line, but the offensive line and the schemes have been very good. Patrick Ricard, the skill position blockers have done a very good job making it difficult for teams to catch it.
I think maybe you could say Derrick Henry has had a very positive impact on Todd Monken. I would probably agree with
that. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go back to another question by Brad McGowan here. He says, I know we love the underlying performance Owe delivers game in and game out, but given how productive the bargain bin guys have been, how high would you prioritize Owe against other re-signed candidates? Is Jones a bigger priority?
After the last game, I think Jones may be the number one priority in my book. There's no replacement for a completely dominant defensive tackle. You pair him with Matabike, you probably have the best duo in the league. And it doesn't matter how much scheme you throw at quarterbacks and how much they get the ball out quick. Nobody likes pressure in their face, coupled with being an absolutely outstanding run defender. I would prioritize Jones above Owe at this point. Personally.
What's your number? Let's say you can get a 4-year deal done. What are you willing to pay? And let's be clear about this. This deal would start after he plays the last year of his rookie contract, even though you sign it at the end of this year.
I mean, based off of one strong season, I think I'm probably pretty close to about $17 million a year.
Yeah, I was going to say 15, 16. So, I hope they could get it done early. You know, $60 million in guaranteed money when you just are not sure the life changing value that is. Hopefully, his agent would not mess that up for him and allow him to take a little risk off the table. But I think that would be a very good signing. We got one more here, and that's from. Well, this is another one that's very similar. So I think we've covered it, but maybe there's another side question. It's Jacob Leeper. Appreciate the question. Yeah. With the emergence of Travis Jones, how did the Ravens front office navigate future contracts with Flowers, Linderbaum, Hamilton, Jones, and likely? Who is most likely to hit free agency? Let's go with that. Who's most likely to hit free agency in that group? Maybe in order of as you would see it.
I think Hamilton is going to be the most likely
to be retained. I'm saying
to be retained.
Yeah.
And then I would, as far as who's going to be most likely to be gone, probably Flowers. They don't like paying receivers. And they, you know, it's been a throughout. I believe Rashad Bateman is the only drafted wide receiver in team history that's ever been re-signed as far as a straight off of his rookie contract. And that just happened, obviously, last year. I remember that fact, which was kind of one of those eyebrow raisers. Linderbaum's going to be interesting. I don't know if they want to break the bank for Linderbaum. We have seen him let centers go before. Jason Brown and Ryan Jensen come to mind there, as good as he is. So I think Likely's probably likely to be re-signed. To me, it's just they're all very good players. How are you going to parse it based off team history? They like paying tight ends, so they're probably going to pay Likely and not Flowers.
Right, and if they pay Likely, then Andrews is gone, so there's some savings there you can certainly apply. And I think Andrews is probably gone anyway. The team has a lot of cap needs this next year without – even sticking their toe in the UFA waters from the other 31 teams, they've got their own design. Oh, they've got so much of that. And retaining this great core of young talent is going to be a real challenge. But I think I agree with you on Flowers being the more likely guy. Now, Flowers is just in year two. He's not in year three. So that question doesn't really become an issue for another year at the earliest, because the earliest they can sign him is after 25. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a... You know, it's a difficult one. I don't see them giving Flowers $30 million a year. I don't see that. And that might be the number we're looking at.
And I wouldn't blame them. Like I said before, draft wide receiver early 3 out of 4 seasons and continue cycling through them and don't pay any vets. I think that's the most efficient way of roster construction.
Okay. All right. I don't entirely disagree with it. They're going to need to figure out how to get that left tackle. If they let Stanley go, and that Stanley is another one that they're going to have to figure out this offseason whether or not there's a way to afford him for another period. Voss, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online or find anything else you're working on.
Sure. I'm on Twitter X at Vasilis Fiamata, VASILISFIAMATA, and do the show with Ken, and also have another podcast we do with Yuri called The Ravens Way at Ravens Way Podcast. Our schedules have been busy. We pared it down from once or even twice a week last year to, or even for monthly now. But Ravens football, I always like talking about this roster, future planning with you, Ken. This is a good time every week.
It is a lot of fun, that's for sure. We'll have an update on your restaurant next week. Still within about a month, we're going to see you open?
God willing.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Glad to hear it. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm always looking for new ideas for content. We got a bye week, not a bye week, a mini bye week coming up with a Thursday game. That is a great time to get a couple shorts in. Again, I'm eager to hear your ideas. For Vasilericos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.